To be in the kingdom of God means that you have a new mission. The new mission in life is the growth. It is the increase of the kingdom of God. I'll say it again. This new mission in life for those that are in the kingdom is the growth, the advancement of the kingdom of God. The Christian's mission in life is no longer the advancement of a personal kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is His great mission in life according to Jesus Christ, the new Master. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means that if we are in the kingdom of God, our chief interest should be the promotion of that kingdom in our lives, in the lives of those who are already in the kingdom, and those who are still outside the kingdom of God. Our chief interest is in the promotion of the kingdom being advanced in our hearts, that rule growing in the hearts of the Lord's people, and that kingdom certainly coming into the hearts of those who are outside the kingdom, that they might be brought into the kingdom. That's the new mission. It's particularly this last group that is the subject of the passage here in Mark chapter 4. These three parables, the candle, the seed cast into the ground, and the mustard seed, is all about how the kingdom of God is advanced in the world. That's what's running through this passage. How the kingdom of God is advanced in this world. This should be of great interest to us because this is our new mission. Once we say we're in the kingdom, we have a new king, we have a new master, a new mind, the marriage, all those things, we have a new mission. That kingdom grows. Christ's first parable is found in verses 21 through 25, which is the parable of the candle set on a candlestick. From this parable, I want to speak on shining light in a dark world. Shining light in a dark world. First, and obvious, the church lives in the midst of a dark world. That's suggested by the parable here. The church lives in a dark world. The Lord uses four objects that were quite common in the average Galilean home of His day. A candle, a bushel, a bed, and a candlestick. I tried to get a picture of a couple of these items out to you so you'd have a better picture in your mind of what the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to. The word candle, don't think about a wax candle. Look at that lamp in that picture at the top of the page. That is actually a picture of called a Herodian lamp, quite common in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what he was referring to. A small piece of pottery that had two holes in it, one where the oil went in and one where there was a wick that would suck up the oil in the lamp and would give light as it burned. The bushel. The actual term for bushel here is a measure of wheat or dry grain, equivalent to about 2 gallons, dry gallons, that we would have in U.S. measures. The word that would be common here would be peck, actually, not bushel, because a bushel was more along the lines of 8 gallons. This was a peck. And if you look at the second picture down, those are clay vessels that were used for measuring dry grain in Christ's times. About a 2 gallon, if I can put it like this, it was like a 2 gallon flour bin. Crush the grain up, get the flour to make the bread. The bed was, it could be a small bed he was referring to, but more than likely the couch that was used to recline around the table when they ate. They didn't sit in chairs upright like you and I, but they had couches around the table and they would recline as they ate their meals. And then the candlestick really, more literally, is a lampstand. The lampstand could be numerous things. It could be a stone projecting out from the side of the wall in which you would set that clay lamp. It could be a board that projects from the center beam that would be holding up the wall of those houses. And just a board there and put the lamp on that. Or it could be even a piece of metal that was set somewhere in the room and they would put that on it. You know, sort of like a bedstand. Crude. Those are the pictures. It was common to see that in the poor homes. They only had one of those, perhaps. Multiple ones in richer homes, but that's the image. In fact, quite common to the people. They got the imagery all right. The point is, the lamp is brought into the room because of the darkness. The lamp is lit because there's darkness. You don't light the lamp in broad daylight. There's no need for it, but it was brought because of the darkness. In the parable, the lamp is the light of the Word of God. It's the light of the gospel of the kingdom. That is the light of those who can shine the light of God's truth, His Word, His gospel. And ultimately, the lamp is a picture of Jesus Christ Himself, who calls Himself the light of the world. The truth I want to stress now from the parable is that there is a need for the lamp to shine because of the deep spiritual darkness of this world. Now let me validate that statement from Scripture. The Bible speaks much and uses much of the imagery of darkness to characterize that other kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. Satan's kingdom is called the power of darkness, both by Christ and by the Apostle Paul. The power of darkness, Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. His minions, and it's sad that we've come across in our day and time, minions today to the average American has an animated comedic effect from a movie, Minions. But minions, Satan's minions, are called the rulers of the darkness of this world in Ephesians 6:12. Those who belong to Satan's kingdom are in darkness, Romans 2:19, Paul says, and they, quote, do the works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11. They're in darkness and they do the works of darkness. And if they are never brought to the light, they will be cast out into outer darkness. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Darkness, 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 darkness. Darkness in Scripture is equivalent to ignorance. The ignorance of God. The ignorance of truth. Darkness is the absence of light, and light is equivalent with truth. It's equated with spiritual blindness. And all the evil and the wickedness and the sin that stems from the darkness. The reason there's the evil and the perversity and the sin in the world is because of the darkness that is in the world. The ignorance, the blindness. This parable is all about shining the gospel light in a dark world. The clear implication is that Christians, you and I, are surrounded, completely surrounded by great spiritual darkness. We live in the world, and the world's a dark place. We are surrounded by it. And the Word of God indicates that when the time of Christ's return draws near, this spiritual darkness and the consequential lawlessness and rebellion and wickedness will increase exponentially. Are we not seeing it? an exponential increase of wickedness. The rapidity, the swiftness with which wickedness has spread through our own land should tell us that plainly.
Amen.
There will be, because of that growing darkness, a growing rejection of the truth of God's Word, a growing intolerance of anyone who holds to the truth of God's Word. The irony in it all will be that this world will tout its growth in knowledge. They're rejecting the truth. They're becoming more and more intolerant of those who hold to the truth of God's Word and of the Gospel. You are being painted as an idiot, as a country bumpkin who knows nothing, while they are touting their advancement in knowledge and disparaging Christians as ignorant, archaic, antiquated buffoons. My, how far mankind has come. How vast its knowledge. I mean, after all, he's so smart, he can produce life in a test tube. He's cracked the DNA code. He could even land one of his inventions on a moving asteroid. Every day you can read or hear something about how man's knowledge of himself, his knowledge of this world, and even of the universe has marvelously advanced. But for all his knowledge, he has no ability whatsoever to solve the real problems of the world. He's not as smart as he thinks he is. Men all around us are sitting in absolute spiritual darkness, in absolute spiritual ignorance. And yet they think they're brilliant. They think they know everything. And truly, they know nothing. It doesn't matter how high the IQ may be. It doesn't matter how good, how kind the person may be. If they're not in the kingdom of God, there is no spiritual light in them. There is no spiritual light. There is not, and this word, my dear sister, she's my sister in the Lord, never met her, but she's still my sister. This is where Fanny Crosby got it wrong theologically. As if, I forget the name of the hymn, but there lies some smoldering ember in the breast. It's just breast waiting for the fan to flame it. There is no smoldering ember in the breast of someone who's lost. There's absolute darkness, as black and as dark and as blind as you could ever imagine. They're all around us. We see them every day. You have them in your family. You have them in your neighborhood. You have them at the job. Everywhere you go, we're surrounded by darkness. They have no spiritual light. Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I need to point out a few things about darkness. As you look at this parable, as we think about this world living in darkness. Living in darkness is a miserable thing. The only time I enjoy darkness is when I want to go to sleep. I like darkness. I like a dark room when I go to sleep. I like a cool room, but I also like a dark room. Other than that, you and I don't find it comfortable sitting in darkness. Go ahead sometime and put a black, dark blindfold on your eyes and just sit there. Or try to walk, try to move. It is uncomfortable. It's unpleasant. It's unhappy. Living in darkness is a miserable thing. And I want to tell you, this world in which we live, it's surrounded by people who are living in darkness and they are living in misery. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what they claim. I will tell you, they are in darkness, and darkness is a place of misery. Living in darkness is also a very dangerous thing. There's all kinds of snares and traps. All kinds of things that can really, really harm you because you can't see. You don't understand. You don't have the ability to grasp the danger of a situation. There's no light. The people all around you are living day in and day out in a very dangerous, precarious situation. Imagine looking upon a town, a small town even, full of people who are blind. The whole town is filled with people who are blind, and they're trying to make their way to work or to buy groceries or just to get out to play with the kids. They can't. It's dangerous. Living in darkness is also a fearful thing. I remember what it was like going into those Luray caverns in Virginia. They don't do this anymore, I'm told, but getting to the point where that leader took us down and turned the lights out. I had never known blackness like that in my life. Never. Only for maybe 10, 15 seconds, but it was enough for me to be afraid. What if those lights don't come back on? How are we going to get out of here? You couldn't see anything. Your eyes would not adjust to the least little bit of light because there wasn't the least little bit of light to be had. Living in darkness is fearful. It's a fearful thing to be led about by the devil and to be left to the power of the devil. The blind leading the blind. It's a fearful thing to live in a room that's right next door to hell. But that's where they're living. It's just next door. Eternity in hell is just a step away. It's a fearful thing to be without Christ, who is the light, the only light. It's a fearful thing to die eternally. Oh, to die once in this body is one thing, but to die eternally, to wish somehow you really could die and your existence cease, but never be able to, but to die eternally is a fearful thing. Eternal death. The church lives in the midst of a dark world. Secondly, the church is God's light in this dark world. The church is God's light in this dark world. Here's the reality in all this darkness. The only ones who have the answer for the world's real problems are Christians. I say that dogmatically. The only ones who have the answers for the world's real problems are Christians. Amen. Yes, the church lives in the midst of a very dark world, but the church is the lamp of God He has placed in this world in order that it shine in the darkness. That's the point of the lamp, isn't it? That's why you light it, to shine in the darkness. I want to be clear about the identity of this lamp in the parable. Yes, the lamp is the truth of Scripture. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The lamp is the gospel. Paul calls it the light of the glorious gospel. It is another metaphor, like the seed in that previous one that's planted and produces change and fruit. And yes, the light, the lamp, ultimately speaks of Jesus Christ himself, who is the light of the world. But Christ is speaking now to his disciples. And he's telling them that just like a lamp, it's not brought in to be put under this 2-gallon size flour bin. It's not brought in to be put under that couch where it'll be hidden. It's brought in to light the darkness. The only ones who can bring the light of Christ and his gospel to those who are in darkness are Christians. I mean, Christ is not walking the face of the earth literally now as he was for his mission on the earth. He's the glory. But we are. And Christ is in us. And now we are. That's why he said, you are the light of the world. We are the light. We're the only ones who have the light. How will the light shine in darkness if there is not someone preaching that light to the lost? How is it going to shine in the darkness if Christians are not telling a lost child, a lost spouse, a lost friend, a lost neighbor, a lost stranger about it? How is it going to shine if that's not taking place? How will those sitting in darkness see the light of the gospel if we are not, by our tongues and by our living, transmitting the light of Christ? That's what a lamp does. It transmits light. Emits light. The church is in the world for a very specific reason, which means you're in the world for a very specific reason. And that is to reach this dark world with the light of the gospel. You recall in the very first message, this is number 27. That's a long time ago when we began this series through Mark. In the very first message, I raised that point of how is my life going to be changed from this study? How is it going to be changed? We come to fundamentals about the kingdom of God. Our chief interest is to be the advancement of the kingdom, its growth, promoting it. Yes, in our hearts, our lives, our homes. Yes, and in our families. And yes, amongst the Lord's people in this church, looking to promote it in somebody else's life, looking to advance them, looking to be some kind of an influence for good, that that kingdom will grow in their lives. They'll be more productive as Christians. But yes, here the parable is about now, those outside the kingdom. How will this change us? How will it change how we live in this world? Let me explain first what I don't mean when I say that Christians are God's lamps in a dark world. I mean first that, and obviously, they are not light in and of themselves. They're not light in and of themselves. The spiritual light that Christians can emit in this world does not come from them, but it comes from Christ who dwells in them. That's where the light comes. That's where the truth comes. Christ dwelling in us. Paul says to believers in Ephesians 5, ye were sometimes darkness. That's what you were. But now are you are light in the Lord. your light. You were darkness. Now you're light. Yes, we have been given light. We have received the light of God's truth into our souls, but we have been made light. We have been made lamps. We have been made transmitters or emitters of the light of God, the light of the truth, the light of the gospel. We've been made, as you know, partakers of the divine nature. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, a partaker of the divine nature. Christ lives in us by His Spirit. And He has given to us a knowledge of Himself and a true knowledge of ourselves, a true knowledge of men. He's given us that truth. We were in ignorance. We were in darkness. We were darkness. But He has come and revealed truth to us. And you can't get that truth other than it being revealed to you. You can't learn it from a book, folks. The kind of truth I'm talking about, the kind of light I'm talking about, you can't concoct it yourself. You can read all the books you want to about the truth. You can read the Bible all day long and memorize its verses and not be brought to the light of the truth. This is the light that God gives, that God imparts. He must reveal Himself, because until He does that, the book is a closed book. God is hidden until the eyes are opened up, until the blindness is removed, until the veil is taken off the heart. I'm using all scriptural terms here to describe what happens. Light comes in, and now we see, now we understand. However feeble the terms may be to describe it, the light that we have is borrowed light. The light that we have is reflected light. It is like the light of the sun shining on the moon. The moon is a dark body in and of itself, but when the sun shines on it, we see it. Boy, that is suggestive for a whole other message. When you have the eclipse of the moon, and that is when the earth comes in between the moon and the sun. That is when the world comes in between the sun shining and the moon, which is supposed to reflect it. That is when the world comes in the way of the Christian. And now he's not shining the bright light he should be because the world is blocking it. Another day, another message. I also don't mean that Christians are not such a light, that there is no darkness, no ignorance, no error, or no sin in them. That's not the kind of light they give. There's only one who could ever say, in him was no darkness at all, and that's Christ. That's the only God-man that could ever be said. If there's no, never was there darkness in Christ. There's no darkness in God. But even though we have been made light, there's still darkness in us. There's still ignorance. We don't know all truth. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface. Our knowledge is piddling. What could be known? Minor. There's things we're in error about. There are things that you hold, you believe, and I can tell you right now, you are in error. You don't believe you are. Brother Peter's laughing there. You're convinced this is the truth. You'll find that one day you were wrong. I'll find that one day that I was wrong. We have error. I mean, here we are in a denomination that allows two different views of baptism as far as the subjects are concerned. There are men who believe that infants should be baptized. They believe that's what the Scripture teaches. Other men do not believe that. They think it's wrong to actually baptize infants. Only believers should be baptized. We have both men in this denomination. One of us is in error. You can't have both. I think they are in error. I'm talking about the Paedo Baptist. Because I'm not one. And if I thought it was true, I'd hold to it. I don't believe it's what the Bible teaches, but somebody is in error. We don't have perfect light yet. One day we will. It'll all be set right on that day. And I'll be able to walk up to you in glory and say, "See, I told you so." And you'll be able to do the same thing to me. "I told you so." And we'll have a good laugh about it. Won't be any animosity. Won't be any fighting, any disagreeing. We'll have a good laugh about it. But right now, when I say that we are light, it's not in the sense that there's no error, that there's no darkness, there's no ignorance, that there's no sin. Because sin is darkness. We sin. As Christians, as light, we sin. We transgress the law of God. And not only ignorantly, but we do it deliberately. When we know it's wrong, we still do it. So let no one think for a moment when we say that we are the light of the world that that means we're perfectly sinless. It's not so, as you well know from your own life. But what it does mean to say that Christians are God's lamps or God's light in this world is that they are to shine in this dark world. It means that when the world looks upon my behavior, how I act, how I respond to this thing that we call life, it should cause them to notice there is something different about me. That I'm not like them in a good way. My light should so shine. Try that, saying that five times real fast. My light should so shine before men that they can easily recognize, after spending some time with me, I'm talking about those that are in darkness in this world, should be able to see there's something different about him. They can't put their finger on it because they don't know the truth, but they know he's not like others. She's not like others. Because if we are, if they see nothing different, then what claim do we have to saying that we are different? If we're just like them, if we're living just like the dark in this world, those who are in darkness, if we talk just like them, if we pursue just like them, what is the difference? Where's the light shining in that? I ask the question. Because they're in darkness. You see, it's when by our living and our responding to this thing we call life that the door is opened for us to speak to them the truth, the word, the gospel. That's what opens the door. The more our lives reflect the light of Christ, the more his life is seen in our living, the brighter our light will be to shine in that darkness and enable us to share the truth with others. It's a travesty when this whole thing gets turned around. And it goes totally south. It gets turned around when we speak so eloquently about the gospel with our lips, but our lives have been a virtual denial of the gospel. They're not going to listen. If what they see with their eyes in your behavior is a denial of Christ himself, if it is darkness, they are not going to listen to the word of God that you have to speak to them. No matter how eloquent you may be in defining and describing and defending the gospel, if there's not light emitting from your life, then there's no power. More specifically, it means first that the Christian as a lamp shines in this dark world by exposing the darkness and the things that are in darkness, the things that belong to darkness. Isn't that what a lamp does? Doesn't the lamp expose the darkness? Flick the light switch on in a dark room and what happens? The darkness. Well, that's dark. I didn't realize how dark it was till the light got turned on. Turn on a flashlight in a dark cave. Wow. I see what's in this darkness. I didn't see it before. I didn't see the rotting carcass over there. I might have smelled it, but I didn't see it. I didn't see the writings on the wall that were there before, but the light, now made me see. Or like the headlights of a car driving on a road on a dark on a dark night, particularly when you put the high beams on. I didn't see that. Now I do. We're lamps. We should be like flipping the light switch on and exposing the darkness and the things that are in the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light reveals the darkness and also what is in the darkness. Next time you're at Walmart, you're at Home Depot, you're at Lowe's, and you're looking at the light bulbs, and you see GE's little invention, his light bulb called Reveal. Remember this. Reveal, it's called. Light reveals. It makes manifest. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And the more contrast there is between the light and the darkness, the easier it is to see what the light is and what the darkness is, what truth is and what error is. The brighter the light. What is knowledge? What is error and ignorance? And from this parable, I can only conclude that one of the great reasons that Christians have been left into this world is to provide a contrast between light and darkness. We are here to show the world that there is an undeniable difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. And they should see it. An undeniable difference. It's just plain tragic when professing Christians want to be like the world, want to be like those in darkness. When we have been put here by our living in this world as lamps to show that there is a difference between the darkness and the light, that we're not the same. We're different. We're not in darkness. How does that happen if we are living like the world? How is the contrast seen? You got to chew on that one for a while. You've really got to chew on that one. You really got to meditate on that one. If I have been left here as a lamp, as a light to shine and to show the difference between the light and the darkness, what does that look like in my life? How is that going to look in this dark world? Does that mean I dim the light? Does that mean that I try to make myself blend in as much as possible as I can with the darkness of this world and those who are in darkness? Is that what that means? How in the world is that going to be a light shining in the darkness? Because as Paul said, the Holy Spirit said, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Darkness doesn't manifest anything. Darkness only hides it. And the last thing those who are sitting in darkness of this world need is for a Christian to come along and hide the darkness, try to hide what's in the darkness. No, we are to be those lights that shine in the darkness and say, this is what's in your dark world. We're here to show this world that there is an undeniable difference between sin and holiness. Not to muddy the waters. It's not to be a hazy line. But this is sin and this is holiness. This is what it means to be a child of light and a child of darkness. Both terms used in Scripture. We are lamps that are to expose the hidden things of darkness, to expose them, not to cover them up. Certainly not to excuse them. But to say, that is darkness. That is sin. That is wrong. That is against the truth. Here is what is right. Here is holiness. Here is light. Here is Christ. Lamps to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing is that it's just by you and I being Christians, just by living as Christians, that we shine. Just being a Christian in a dark world, it's a light. Living as a Christian, thinking as a Christian, responding as a Christian. It gives off light. It's not a neat little package where you go to a seminar or a conference and you learn A, B, C, here's what I do to be light. Just live the Christian life as set down in Scripture and you emit light in a dark world. It's like turning the light on. Let me hasten to say that it will upset a lot of people. If you're going to shine your light in the darkness, if you're going to expose darkness and the things of darkness, it's going to upset people. Men who are still in darkness, in error, and in ignorance. Because men still to this day, as it was when Christ came, the light of the world, men still love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I don't mean to gross you ladies out, and maybe even you men with weaker stomachs, but living in Orlando, Florida, there's a creature called a palmetto bug. It is a gigantic cockroach. And on our back porch, it's an open porch, wasn't closed, it's a screened-in porch, you could go out nighttime, see nothing. You put the light on, and you see hundreds of palmetto bugs just scurrying around. They don't like the light. They don't like the light when it's shone upon them. Men who are in darkness don't like light because it exposes them for what they are where they are. They hate it. Nightclubs are dark for reasons. Bars are dark for reasons. Brothels are dark for a reason. That's why they crucified Christ, you know. They did not like the fact that he exposed their darkness. And they killed him for it. Furthermore, as the lamp that shines light in a dark world, the Christian explains the darkness. Not only exposes it, but he explains it. We are, as I pointed out, we are the only ones who have the ability to tell the world what the matter with the world is. We can answer that question. You might hear someone at work saying, "What in the world is the matter with him?" Or, "What in the world is the matter with the world?" Hey, you know what? I can tell you what the matter is. I can tell you what the problem is. The problem is darkness. The problem is sin. That's the problem. It's not money. It's not politics. That's not the problem. It's sin. We explain the darkness that's in this world. I mean, look upon yourself like that. See yourself as one who can explain to the most brilliant scholar who's in darkness. Here's the problem. The reason there are broken homes and murders and drunkards and thieves and whoremongers and liars and wars and every other social and moral and political ill you can think of is because of the darkness. It's ignorance of God. To know God is salvation. It's deliverance from all those things. To not know him, you are left to the outcome of that darkness, which is sin. Finally, as lamps that shine the light of the gospel in this dark world, the Christian shows the exit from the darkness. He exposes, he explains, he shows the exit out of the darkness. There's only one exit. There's only one way out of the darkness. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only one. He's the only one that's going to change and turn the darkness into light and the night into day. The problem is sin. There's only one remedy for sin. The blood of Christ shed to hide it, to cover it, to wash it away. Christ is the only one who can make someone a new man and give them a new motive and give them a new mission and give them a new marriage and a new melody and all those things that flow from having Christ as your master. Darkness is dangerous. Darkness is deadly. It ends up in hell, dying eternally. We as the lights have the way, say, here's the exit. Here's the exit out. Here's the way you get out of the darkness. It's Jesus, the Savior of sinners. That's why we're here in this world. Not only to expose the darkness. God save us from that mentality when all we do is rant and rave about the wickedness and the evil in the world and never take the time to explain the darkness and then to say, now let me tell you about the exit. Let me tell you about the way out of the darkness. You can talk all day long, I imagine, about the evils that's in the world and telling others why this world's in the mess that it's in. And you can explain to them, this is all because of sin. But it's quite something different to say, I know how you can get out of this darkness. Can I share with you how I got out of it? His name is Jesus. That is why we're here. That's being the lamp in a dark world. God, write that word on our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, leave us not alone. We want, Lord, a holy agitation. We want, Lord, to be stirred. Yes, to shine more brightly in this world. But Lord, it is that desire to see men brought from darkness into light that we want to see advancing so that the kingdom of God will advance. The joy of seeing sinners saved. We pray that Thou wilt grant it to us and to our congregation to see them brought in here and converted to Christ. Our Father, we pray that we will go home and the devil will not be allowed to take away the seed that's been planted. There will not be a hardness beneath the soil of our soul. There will not be the idols that will come and choke it out. But we pray that this morning the seed will have fallen upon good ground and bring forth fruit to the glory of Thy Son. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen.